Read again Mark chapter 4 and verses 21 to 25, the verses we're going to consider this morning. Mark chapter 4 and verse 21. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set out on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Well, I wonder, are you a good listener this morning? How do you listen to God's word? Whether you're in church, do you really pay attention? Do you really listen to what God is saying? Or whether you're at home and you read the Bible, do you really pay attention to what God is saying through the word of God? How are you as a listener? How are you generally to people? Do you listen to others when they speak to you? Or do you have so much on your mind you switch off? How are you as a listener? Then how are you as a talker? What words come out of your mouth? Do words come out which lift up others, build them up, strengthen them? Or do words come out of your mouth that tear people down? Do you speak about things that are really helpful? Or do you speak about things that really don't matter too much in life? Do you speak about Jesus Christ? Do you speak about the Bible? Are you a good talker? Well, as Christians, we ought to be good talkers and good listeners. We ought to be able to give out. We ought to speak to others about our faith, but we need to take in. We need to hear God's word and really listen to it. And we have those two thoughts that come out of these verses, giving out and taking in. You see, in verse 21, Jesus asks questions. It says about a lamp. Would any of you put a lamp under a bed? In those days, they had little rolled-out beds, and it would be absurd to think of putting a lamp underneath a little bed that had been rolled out. The Romans had slightly hired beds, but the normal Jewish people just had a mattress that was rolled out. It would be absurd to think of that, wouldn't it? And it would be absurd to think of putting a basket on top of a lamp. Obviously, their lamps were very different to ours. You just wouldn't do it. A light is there to shine. A light is there to take away darkness. A light is there in order to show things around you. A light is there to be used. It's never there to be hidden. What was Jesus meaning? As Christians, we have light. Jesus said, "We are the light." He is the light of the world, and we are light in him. We have the knowledge of God, and that's light. You see, God's word is a light, is a lamp to our path. And if we know God and we know Jesus Christ, we have that light within us. And the call is to share that light to others. It's true to say, isn't it, we're growing up in an age where many people don't know much about the Bible. You youngsters here, if you've got friends in schools, many of them don't know the stories of the Bible that you know. We're living in a different generation. Maybe 50 years ago, there were people who went to Sunday school and knew the stories. But today, there's little understanding of the Bible. But we, who are Christians, need to let our light shine. We need to share that light to others. Now, why don't we? Well, there's a fear, isn't there? There's a fear of being misunderstood. Maybe you feel that people are very prejudiced against Christianity. You already conclude that they don't want to know. So you think, if people don't know, want to know, what's the point in speaking? Well, imagine if Jesus Christ was like that when he came to his own and his own rejected him. Imagine if he thought, "Well, I'm not going to preach, if I'm not going to teach, these people will only follow me for a while, but then they'll crucify me." There is a time to speak, and there's a time not to speak. There are times to keep silent, We're not called to cast our pearls before swine. We're not called to just say everything about the Bible all the time in front of people. But there are times where we ought to speak, aren't there? God gives us opportunities. Somebody asks us a question. Or we're in a situation, maybe a classroom situation, and they're speaking about the Bible or religion, and there's an opportunity to say something. Or your friends ask you, why do you go to church? Or as adults, there are times when we can speak very, very openly, and we're not to be too worried about what people think about us. Maybe we're worried about them people calling us names and thinking we're abnormal in some way. Maybe you're worried that people will laugh at you, that they'll ridicule you. But then there's lethargy, isn't there? Some people don't speak about Jesus because they don't have a sense of urgency. They don't see that others around them, without hearing about Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross, without hearing that message and believing it, will go to hell, and they don't think about that. They're lethargic and they have a lack of compassion. Why don't we speak? Maybe at times it's a sense of failure. We feel that we've let God down, we've sinned, we've disobeyed him, and we think, well, who am I to speak about Jesus Christ if I haven't lived as I ought to have lived? But sometimes, you know, it's the failure of the church, isn't it? We look at a lukewarm church, a church that isn't on fire, Christians who don't speak up, a church that's become very marginalized, a church that has become very wishy-washy. And so we just go along with the flow. As others are, we are. You know, the church does need to speak out. A church does need to be seen and heard. I heard yesterday of a church in Swansea, and they've decided to do this every 6 weeks, just give a newsletter to their immediate neighbours. They're not saying going miles and miles away in huge distributions, but they say, we want the church, our neighbourhood, to know that we're there, that we're here. We want them to know our news. We want to bring the messages. And they think that's one way that they can keep in touch. The church is to be a light, isn't it? It's a city set on a hill, and it's a light that's to shine brightly. And if it's to be that, we're to be in the community. We're to be shining. We're to be speaking. We're to be living. We're certainly not to put the lamp under a basket or under a bed. Why ought we to shine our light? Well, I want to ask you this. Who else in the whole of Great Britain has the truth? Have the Mormons got the truth? No. Have the Jehovah Witnesses got the truth? No. Have the Hindus got the truth? No. Have the Buddhists or the Muslims or... Well, we could go on, couldn't we? We have been given the truth. It's been given to us, the Word of God, the Word of the living God. Imagine if there was somebody who was dying and you bought them Christmas presents and you knew that maybe they weren't going to last until Christmas Day. You would be pretty mean if you withheld that present before Christmas Day, wouldn't you? You wouldn't wait until the 25th of December. You would say, this person needs the present now. And if we got the truth, what's holding us back? And we've got good news. It's not just that we've got truth, but we've got good news. We can tell others that Jesus died for their sins upon the cross. We can say that he paid the price to forgive them all of their sins. We can tell them that he rose from the dead. And if they believe in him, they need not fear death. We can tell them that there's a heaven and that there's a hell and there's only two destinies. And we can tell them that in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, there's hope. We have wonderful news. And we know that this news is life-transforming. You see, you can't change a person. You can't make a person a Christian. I can't make a person a Christian. But the Holy Spirit can. He can take God's word and change people's lives. And we must have confidence in the Bible. So then, the first point this morning is this. Give out. And then in verse 22, it gives us a reason why. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Can you imagine people who die without Jesus Christ? People who've maybe grown up in Great Britain who haven't heard hardly anything of the Bible, when they see him, when they see him face to face, how would they think? And maybe they might think, well, I lived next to a church and nobody told me about Jesus Christ. I had neighbours who I knew went to church, but they never said anything to me about Jesus Christ. You see, then everything will be revealed, all the truth, there'll be nothing hidden. When Jesus comes again and every eye sees him and everybody will know that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So why don't we tell them now? We ought never to conceal the truth. The Bible says, preach the word in season and out of season. When it seems that people want to hear, tell them. When it seems that people don't want to hear, tell them. Always be ready to give an account. Always be ready. Maybe you think, well, how can I answer people's questions? Well, there's some things that maybe you can't answer, but you can learn some scriptures. You can learn some central truths, and you can be ready to pass those on. If somebody asks you to explain the gospel, could you do it quoting scripture? Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. We're his witnesses, his representatives. We're called to cast our bread upon the waters because after many days, it will come back to us. That means we're to be liberal in our spreading of the word of God. And we're to sow in hope and knowing that after many days, there will come a harvest. Sow your seed in the morning and in the evening. Do not withhold your hand, the Bible says. So the first thing this morning is give out. Are you a good talker? What do you talk about? Do you talk about the Bible? Do you talk about Jesus Christ? Do you look for opportunities? Yesterday we had lots of Chinese people. And I was thinking, how much do they know about the Bible? And somewhere when at the reception, I made my way to the Chinese and I sought to say a little bit to them, a little thought here and there. Give out, then take in. Verses 23 to 25. It's all about hearing, isn't it? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus often said those words. He was speaking to the masses. If anyone, any one of you. He knew that some would be dull of heart. Some wouldn't listen. But there was an invitation. If anybody has ears to hear, well, let him hear. Let him really listen. You see, the God of this world blinds the mind. People don't understand. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. And so Jesus is trusting that the Spirit will work. He will take away the veil. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And we need to be discerning, don't we? Because here in verse 24, Jesus says this, take heed what you hear. In another place, he says, take heed how you hear. There are many voices, aren't there, clamoring for our attention. There's the voice of the intellectuals and the media. And we have to really think about what they're saying to us. And we need to think about the agenda that maybe they have, the preconceptions they have. For example, you need to think through this. In September 2008, Michael Rees, he was removed from being director of the Royal Society, a very prestigious society. And why was it? Was it that he was opposed to creationism? No, he was a firm evolutionist. Was it that he proposed an alternative to creation? No, he believed that everything can be explained by science and creationism in and of itself is not scientific. He only said this, that creationists and creation should be considered as another worldview. We ought to allow it into the debate. And for that reason, he was dismissed. And Richard Dawkins, an atheist, said this, to call for his resignation comes a little too close to a witch hunt. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, what's behind the intellectuals of today? What's behind many of the universities? What's driving them? Much of it is an atheistic philosophy. And we need to be aware of that. And that comes through the media, through the television. What are you listening to? And then there's religion, isn't there? In Jesus' day, maybe many were following the religion of the day, the tradition of the elders. They spoke so much about the law of Moses, but didn't really understand it. Really, for them, it was all the rules and regulations that the religious leaders had put upon them. You know, if you're brought up in a tradition, sometimes it's very easy just to follow a tradition for tradition's sake and not to think. One of the great problems of people today is an inability to think. It's just a matter of following. So if you're in the Church of England, that's all you've known. You follow that tradition. If you're a Catholic, that's all you've known. You follow that tradition. If you're a Baptist, that's all you've known. You follow that tradition, but without any thinking. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it, and not just follow the tradition of others. Some say all roads lead to Rome, and many people follow that idea, don't they? Pick and mix. You can choose any religion. It doesn't really matter. All are going in the same direction. Others are into mysticism or New Age. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. We need to have our minds saturated with the Word of God. It's so important to be in church as much as we can because we're hearing God's Word. So important to read the Bible. It's so important to meditate upon the Bible, not skim reading, not quick reading. The danger today, because we have information overload, we have so many emails that come to us. We have so many things that we start to skim read. We are on Facebook. Everything's because we need to stop and ponder and think and meditate. To the law and to the testimony, we need to go back to the Bible. And when we read the Bible, read it with questions. Be like the Bereans, with an open mind, asking what God is saying. Ask God to teach you from it. Be careful what you hear, because you're shaped by what you hear and what you listen to. We're taught to be innocent about what is evil and wise as to what is good, and that's so important today. It's so easy to know everything about everything. We have to be selective in how we read the papers, selective in what we watch. We need to be careful, don't we? Innocent of what is evil and wise to what is good. The scripture says this, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So God would want us to be a people saturated with holy thoughts. And there are wonderful promises here. Jesus says this, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him, more will be given. Diligent study, diligent listening, and diligent applying of the Word of God will make you strong and blessed. You will have more understanding, more joy, more stability, more peace, more satisfaction, more life. More will be given to you. In Matthew 13, verse 12, we read that he will have an abundance. We read, didn't we, of that 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, those who hear the Word. The word is planted on good ground and there's fruit. Matthew Henry says this, gifts and graces multiply by being exercised. And it's true, as you listen to God's word, put it into practice, God blesses you with further gifts, further graces. But the converse is true as well. He who neglects spiritual duties, he who comes little to church, he who's not concerned to consider God's word, well, he loses out. Sometimes he becomes rusty. Sometimes he becomes like that motor that can no longer function. We know that when we're given electrical equipment or a car motor, if that electrical equipment or that motor of a car is just left dormant 6 months, a year, we might try it out, might turn on the keys or plug the electrical appliance in, but it no longer works. And here there's a warning, isn't there? Even what he has will be taken from him, the end of verse 25. Those who don't exercise themselves in spiritual disciplines, they lose out so much. On BBC Wales this week, I was listening to a Welsh bodybuilder who'd won Mr. Wales for 2 years. And he said this, that he ate 8 to 10 meals a day. Imagine that, 8 to 10 meals. Obviously, carefully chosen meals. He exercised an awful lot, but he to win that competition, he must have had rippling muscles, be super fit. What about us, if we want to be strong Christians? Do we exercise ourselves to godliness? There's many promises here. Much will be given to him. And I think of a young Christian. Maybe see some of these youngsters who've newly professed faith. Do you know that you can become strong very early on? If you really listen to God's word, maybe you can overtake some of us adults. That can happen. You can become so zealous for God and his word because you're listening and taking. More will be given to him, the Bible says. But then also there's a warning here, verse 24. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you listen and like a lot of negative, hard, confrontational preaching, well, you may find that you become like it. You may find that you become a very judgmental Christian. We do need at times hard-hitting preaching. We do need strong words. We do need warnings. But we have to be very careful if that's all we listen to. Some people have a diet of listening to certain preachers on the internet, and sometimes that has an adverse effect. And as it says here, this, as you measure others with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. As you become hard and judgmental, so others will judge you, so it will come back to you. But then on the other hand, if we listen only to loving, tolerant preaching, non-confrontational preaching, we may find that we have a tendency to excuse sin, to overlook sin, to lack standard. We have a tendency to lower Christian values. We have a tendency to accept all because, again, we've gone skew-whiff. And that comes back on us in all sorts of ways. With the same measure you use, it will be used to you. So we need to be balanced people. We need to hear the whole counsel of God. We need to hear confrontational preaching, which is right and true from the word. We need to hear the message of God's love and his mercy. We need to have balance. The Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. And we need to handle the word of God correctly with others. Because if we misapply the word of God, if we abuse the word of God, well, that will come back upon us. But then in Luke 8, verse 18, it says this also. Take heed how you hear. You see, what you hear is essential. We mustn't listen to the voices of this world. We mustn't listen to the voices of the atheistic agenda. We mustn't listen to the wrong type of thing, even in the Christian world. But how you hear is important as well. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 21, that we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. We're to receive the word of God with meekness, with a humble spirit, always willing to learn. We're to receive the word of God eagerly. 1 Peter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. Are you eager to hear God's word? Speaking to somebody yesterday at the wedding, and he said, when he looks at young people, and he was in young people's meetings, and he said he could see those who were eager to hear, and those who weren't. And I said, well, we have to be careful just judging by appearance. We have to be very careful, don't we? But what he was basically saying to me is this, appetite. Is there a desire for God's word? Eagerness. how you hear. Do we hear with humility? Do we hear readily? And then above all, do we put it into practice? You see, Jesus talked about two men, didn't he? One, he built his house upon a rock. Person who builds his life on the word of God, on Jesus Christ. When the tempest come, the house stands. And then the other who built his house upon the sand. When the winds and the rain came, well, that house fell flat. Two people. And he said, one is he who hears the sayings of Jesus Christ and does them. And one who hears the sayings of Jesus Christ and does not do them. It's no good just to be hearer, but we're to be doers. We're to practice the word of God. Sometimes in the West, we're very good at hearing and understanding. But how good are we at doing the word of God? It's a challenge to each one of us. So this morning, are you a good talker? Do you talk about Jesus Christ? Are you a good listener? Do you hear his word? We're not to let our light be hidden, but it ought to be shine. It ought to shine. We ought to diffuse the knowledge of the fragrance of Jesus Christ in every place. We ought to impart knowledge. We ought to teach. The Bible says about a Christian, all of you have an unction, and you do not need that anyone should teach you. In Hebrews 6, there's a thought that every person should be a teacher of the word of God. Everybody ought to be sharing God's word. But then we need to be listeners, don't we? Hearing God's word with meekness, with humility. Hearing the right voices, meditating upon it. Well, we're going to close now by singing 823. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echo.